T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why don't more guys look at their situations like Lance Lynn did and secure their futures in a way that may pay them less, you know, per year perhaps, but it will supply not only security financially, but peace of mind in a place that wants them and they want to be.
Because they're sitting there listening to their agents. Their agents are filling their head with, you know, you're capable of making this amount of money, because on the back end, the agents know how much money they can make. I bet you in these conversations, Lance Lynn had as much to say as his agent did, because he wasn't looking for an unrealistic amount of money, even though he's having the success that he's having. He understands that the supporting cast is playing a really important role in his success. So he's realistic about the amount of money that he knows that he can ask for from the team he's playing for. And he also loves coming to work every day. And I think that's an important part of it. You know, I was, you know, after the 85 season, I was, you know, shocked to see that how intent Wilbur Marshall was, you know, set his sights on getting out of Chicago. Right. Why would you want to leave Chicago when you're playing alongside Otis Wilson, Singletary in that defense, and you have a chance to win multiple Super Bowls? So, you know, some guys set their sights on finances only, and I don't think that's always the right way to go about it, because if Lance Lynn made $42 million somewhere else, but he's making $38 million, what's the difference? Are you going to have a different lifestyle because you're making $4 million extra or a couple million dollars extra a year? No, it's not going to change your lifestyle. But if you put yourself into a worst working atmosphere, and now every day you dread going to work because you know you're not going to have run support, and you're going to go out there and be, you know, 4-12 instead of, you know, what your record can be with a great supporting staff.
312-644-6767. What did Lance Lynn signing a contract extension to the White Sox say to you, the White Sox fan, the baseball fan, in terms of, was it the White Sox culture that attracted him, or was it because of Lance Lynn's personality and willingness to sacrifice some dollars on the table for some peace of mind in the clubhouse, around the field? And Tom, so I think that not everybody is Lance Lynn and going to approach it that way. Not everybody has an agent that's going to be that amenable. He's 34 years old. Maybe he wouldn't have gotten a better deal in free agency. I bet that he would have. But how does that equate? Do you look at that and think with the North side, the Cubs, the situation they're facing? Chris Bryant, you hear him say with all sincerity, I believe, I love Chicago. I love being a Cub. I want to be here for the rest of my career if possible. You hear the same sort of sentiment from Javi Baez. You hear the same sort of sentiment from Anthony Rizzo, Cub for life, wanted to sign the extension, but it wasn't what he wanted to make money-wise. Do they mean it? Is that insincere? Why, if they really wanted to be here, is it wrong to wonder why they don't make that happen the way that Lance Lynn did?
Well, we're talking about a player that sees the mound once every 5 days. Now we're talking on the North side about guys that have been grown up here since their baseball infancy, and they see the field every day. So they're more in your face. They're addressing the media more often. There's more of a plus and minus factor to what their contributions are to the Cubs as an everyday team, where you have these, you know, Rodon is the same way. You know, he's capitalizing on, you know, having success with a really good team, to where you see Bryant and Rizzo and Javi from where they started to what they were able to accomplish and where they're at now. It's, they're just more you know, they're an everyday actor where pitchers are once every 5 days, and you hope that when they step up, you know, when they're on the mound, that they deliver what's expected of them, or what we've seen of them so far.
Why do you think, from your perspective, the White Sox have been able to lock up and retain some of their young core players, and also veterans like Lance Lynn now? They're in the fold and they're able to work out deals like this. And you look at the Cubs as almost the glaring example of a team that couldn't do that. And that's why they're facing this reality that they're sellers before the deadline. Then they're facing this reality that the championship window was closing with a thud and only one title.
You know, you probably have Scott Boras telling Chris Bryant, don't say anything, because I'll do the money talk, where you have Abreu saying, look, I don't care what I'm not leaving here. I'm going to take what you guys are going to offer me. And then what he exhibits inside the dugout to the rest of these young guys, he's already promoting and creating a positive working atmosphere because of his willingness to stay here in Chicago. And he's a huge contributor. And he makes it exciting to come to work every day. Where, you know, there's times when I remember they had Rizzo and Bryant were sitting out a game, and they kept showing pictures of them in the dugout, and they have this real withdrawn look on their face. I want to see a more upbeat, a more positive, a more, you know, really upbeat look inside that Cubs dugout, because, you know, I don't see the same working atmosphere in that dugout that I do in the Sox dugout.
312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That is where we find David on the road. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I was just calling a comment about Lance Lynn's situation with the White Sox. I think it's a reflection of the whole organization, including the manager in the front office. And you guys, about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, were sitting saying that everybody's going to look to get out of the White Sox as fast as they can because of the manager. And this could be a pure reflection on the manager and the team that was built by the front office. You and your other host, not the guest host, but the regular guy, were saying how that Tony Russo was going to be the cause of Tim Anderson leaving, this guy leaving, Rodon leaving, everybody wanting to get out. But yet now, your host just said that it's a positive atmosphere there. So which way, I mean, what do you have to say about that? I mean, you don't think the manager gets any credit for setting the tone in there, or you don't think the front office gets any credit for setting the tone or bringing the right kind of player in there? Or is it just he only gets the blame when they lose a game to the Twins or somebody?
David, good phone call. Good. You successfully played the game of gotcha, and you got us, okay? So early on, yeah, Tony La Russa did some things that I think that Molly and I hosted this station, people around town, fans in the stands. Tony La Russa did some things as a manager that brought some unwanted attention, some scrutiny that was deserved, some second-guessing that he earned. There were some bad decisions made. And I think that at the time, because of the age gap, we wondered aloud and probably were critical and suggested that there could be some pushback to that if he didn't handle himself the right way. Winning takes care of a lot of things. Winning cures a lot of things, Tom. And I think that, yeah, you look at the way that Tony La Russa has been able to get out of his own way, but also stay out of others' way. And he's done a nice job of just managing this team without interfering with their ability to be themselves. And I don't know that we knew that early on. And maybe we did fear the worst or expect the worst.
Well, you know, I like David's argument that he brought up, because there's a point to it. But to me, I think if you go out and you interviewed a couple of high-profile free agents in the baseball market, I think they would talk more about the players in the dugout than they would signing here because of Tony La Russa. And again, I wasn't a huge fan of Tony La Russa when they signed him, you know, to be a part, you know, to be the manager of the White Sox, because I saw so many young faces in the dugout that need to be they need to be cultivated. They, you know, their skills need to be refined and stuff. And I didn't. So I like what Tony has been able to contribute. But I think if you go and you did an interview with free agents, that they would want to come here because of the players in the dugout, not necessarily the pitching coach or the manager or the bullpen coach, because I think it's about the talent that's in the field.
Could not agree more. You know, I was on the Sports Zone last night with Luke Kanellis on Fox 32, and one of the questions that was asked of us was that, who do you give the credit to most for the Sox being 20 games over 500? And the suggestion being, yeah, you know what? You have to be respectful of the manager's role in this. And I don't think anybody wants to take away anything from Tony La Russa. But to me, where the Sox are at this stage of the season, 20 games over 500, having played without four starters, two key guys. I don't even want to, you know, rank the guys who they have missed. But when you're talking about Grandal, Luis Robert, Aloy, and Nick Madrigal, that's a pretty big list of contributors. I think this has been an organizational victory, and Rick Hahn is the general manager of this team, and the way that this roster has been constructed, there's enough credit to go around, but it would start with him.
But, you know, the thing about it is, I think if you look at Tony La Russa and you look at Dusty, what did Dusty need to do in order to get Houston to keep him on track and get him back on track after their cheating fiasco? He's had a different role in keeping that team together than what Tony La Russa has.
Right.
Tony La Russa, after Rick Renteria, has been able to keep the momentum of this team in which the Rick Hahn and his people have started when they brought in all this talented group of players, where Dusty is just trying to keep an organization together after what they suffered through.
That's a good comparison, because I think the tendency is to put those guys in the same category because they're over 70 and they're taking over teams that are very good and could see each other again in the postseason. But Tony La Russa's job was much different than Dusty Baker's job. Dusty had a lot of crisis control and image management and things like that, and he had to kind of stabilize a difficult situation, whereas Tony La Russa, I think, came in for different reasons. And more specifically, I think, to give Tony La Russa credit, if you want to look at the first half of the season and the first series of the second half, what he has done effectively, he's managed the bullpen and the pitching staff very well. It helps when you have a starting rotation that good and a bullpen that nasty at times. And it really helps when you have a closer that doesn't fail, and Michael Kopech, who is just, I think, the most interesting pitcher on that staff, bar none. I mean, Michael Kopech is intriguing to me and dangerous in a lot of ways, so it helps. But Tony La Russa has pushed a lot of the right buttons when it comes to pitchers.
Kopech, most interesting, but the most frustrating to me. Giolito, I thought he, you know, when you look at what this team, you know, I remember Grandal doing an interview after a good performance. This is only June. And he was just a real, you know, didn't have the disposition you wanted to see with the excitement of what he was able to do in the game. And, you know, embrace the excitement of the moment. Don't say, it's just June. Because when you look at Giolito and you think about what you want to accomplish in October, was he in for too many pitches the other day? You know, isn't it something that if you're really looking at lengthy success, not success in the moment, should they have taken him out a little bit earlier?
Yeah.
Maybe even to his frustration.
Right.
Because that's what you're concerned about, is where these guys are going to be at that part of the season.
Before we get back to the phone calls, I want to ask you, so Kopech is the most interesting yet frustrating. What frustrates you about Michael Kopech?
You know, and I'm glad we got Steve Stone on today, because I wanted to ask him, is just the lack of assurance that he's in a position where he's going to be better and get better for a lengthier period of time.
Okay.
Are you only going to come in and throw 11 to 15 pitches and then be taken out because we don't want to overwork you? We don't want to stress you mentally. We don't want, you know, there's always these things that they're worried about.
High maintenance?
Yes.
Okay.
And here's a guy that he's one of the most talented pitchers of all of baseball. But is he only going to be, you know, a 11 to 15 pitch guy?
Tom, if the White Sox have one inning to play and they have a 3-2 lead and you have to pick one pitcher and everybody's healthy and rested and ready to go, who are you picking? My list starts with Michael Kopech.
I agree.
I am sending him to the mound to get the three most important outs of this generation, because I think he is that good on any given day. Now, I agree with you. It's tough because you see him like days like yesterday, and he's just dealing and he's hitting 100 and he's breaking off that curveball. And my goodness sakes, is he good? You want to see more and you get greedy. But I think they have to be careful here because of his past, because he's so young and because he's so good.
Yeah, so if you have one game to win at the end of the season,
right.
Now you got a game, not an inning. Because you know what? There's a lot of guys, you know. The closer, you know, go ask him.
Finish that question.
Go, you know, if you had one game to win and you wanted a guy and you go, okay, you might have to throw 65 pitches. Is not even going to consider him.
No, I probably would not. I would go, you know what I would do? This is why today is such a fun day to be on the air. I would do what I did yesterday. I would go with Rodon. I would ask him to give me what he gave the White Sox yesterday, one hit in seven innings, pretty darn good. And then you go to Kopech, who was filthy in his inning, and then you turn it over to your closer. Wasn't a close situation, but boy, Liam Hendricks is good.
Yes.
That is the recipe, and that's the formula that the Sox need. You know,
if I could put Liam Hendricks' head in his mind and his attitude on the body of Kopech, then you know, maybe you have the complete guy that I'm looking for. Listen, I sit here as a fan of baseball. I don't know the intricacies of all the inner workings of guys mentally and physically. So it'll be interesting to talk to Steve later to see where he gets. Or John, you know, see their
John
attitude.
Hammond coming up next. Let's squeeze in a phone call before we get there. Frankie Z is on the road. Good morning, Frankie Z.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, just real quickly. I was absolutely intrigued by Tom's comments about looking at the dugout and seeing the difference in Abreu's actions and the other guys for the Cubs. But I think it comes to a leadership thing, and I think the Cubs lack leadership. And my question is this. Do you guys see any parallel between Jimmy Butler's actions 4 or 5 years ago, I'm the leader, people aren't working as hard as me, as you do with Contreras, and what do you see the outcome of that? I think Contreras' comments are going to have a lasting effect. I don't think a leader has to have followers, and I don't think he's got the followers in Eddie. Do you guys see any relationship between Butler's actions and now?
Thanks, Frankie Z. Yeah. That's a really good question. I hope not. I mean, that's my first reaction. I hope not because Jimmy Butler led in a way that made him to the Bulls organization expendable. And Jimmy Butler turned out to be a very strong leader and certainly an all-star player. And Wilson Contreras is a strong leader and an all-star player. But I hope the Cubs don't deem that brand of leadership as expendable as the Bulls did.
I agree. I think Jimmy Butler was always looking for a way out to go somewhere that, hey, he's got a higher, there's more profile of the atmosphere of the organization that includes himself. To me, when you look at Contreras, he's a guy that is invested so much in the organization that you want his attitude. You want a guy that can confidently. He's not calling out the players. He's asking for more.
Right.
And so I think he's the type of guy that you would like to see here for quite a while.
He's Tom Thayer in for Mully today. We are going to talk to John Heyman when we come back. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tom Thayer in for Mully today. Time now to go out to the Home Run Inn hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. HomeRunInn.com for unique grilling recipes and more. That is where we find the Odyssey Sports and MLB Network insider, John Heyman. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. We are coming off a big series victory for the White Sox and the Cubs taking two out of three from the Diamondbacks. And I think the focus with the Cubs is on who's going next after the Jock Peterson trade. But let's start with the White Sox, John. In your mind, from a national perspective, the way that they beat the Astros, giving up one run in the final two games of that series, what did that say to you about them? If you and what statement did you read into?
Yeah, I thought that was big. They had trouble with the Astros, who had been the best team in the league up until that point. And, you know, I think the Astros are a team you're going to have to get through to get that pennant in the American League. So, you know, I thought that was big for the White Sox. As I said along, I think the division is done. They've got that. And, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs. And I think their pitching is the best in the league. So they've got a good shot. And now I feel even better about the White Sox.
John, when you look at the Houston White Sox game, was it the impressive display of the pitching or the fact that they have multiple batters that can come up and be inserted in the lineup and still have an impact no matter where they're batting?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the White Sox, I think that they have just have great pitching, and that's what really makes them, in my mind at least, the favorite. When you've got all-stars as your number three and number five starters, at least originally, you're in pretty darn good shape. And they've got great arms in that pen. Should be the best bullpen. Their closer is probably the best closer in the game. I think Chicago may have the top two closers in baseball at the moment anyway. We'll see where Kimbrel lands. But, you know, I do think the pitching is the key. But they've done a great job filling in with all those outfielders hurt. I mean, two best outfielders on the team, Robert and Jimenez. They've done a great job filling in there, and you know, they've shown they have pretty good depth, which I really wasn't sure that they had. So I give them credit. They've been very good. La Russa's doing a good job. All is right on the south side.
Yeah, but on the north side, the Cubs have some issues, and they have obviously they won two out of three from the Diamondbacks, but it's a bad Diamondbacks team, and that's not the focus, John. We know where the focus is, and that's on selling. The Jock Peterson trade brought Bryce Ball, a minor league first baseman, a Class A in return. What is your sense of who might be next, and how many teams do you think are interested in Craig Kimbrel?
Yeah, I mean, I would think any contending team would be interested in Kimbrel. I mean, you know, even the Padres who had him, they have Melanson, who was an all-star as well as Kimbrel. You know, they've got some other issues. They blew the game last night against the Nats. So I think even the Padres would be interested. Houston certainly needs pen help. Atlanta, if there's still a buyer, they're a buyer at the moment. They could use pen help. But, I mean, a closer can help any team, and he is the best closer that's on the market. There are some other good closers, but he's far and away the best. So that's a good position to be in if you're the Cubs.
Hey, John, according to your Twitter, it says, Marlins said willing to consider anything that makes their club better, meaning no untouchables. Is there ever a time that you can insert Cubs willing to consider anything that means to make their club better?
I think so. I think that's fair at this point. You know, they're a clear seller. I have seen indications they might give it another shot with a contract with Rizzo and Baez. We shall see about that. There was certainly a gap with both cases. So I wouldn't be shocked if either one of them is traded. You know, I mean, I think Kimbrel and Bryant go. I think the bullpen pieces, some of the other bullpen pieces could go. You know, I think probably at this point, just about anybody is fair game. I mean, if you're maybe if you got 5 years of control, maybe not so much, but they don't have too many players like that. So I think you're probably right. I think you could they're willing to consider anything, and that's probably the way to operate if you don't have a contending team.
Okay, let's back up there for a second, John. So Javi Baez and Anthony Rizzo are guys they're going to reportedly go to before they consider trading them. Anthony Rizzo, in the spring, it was reported that he turned down 5 years, $70 million. Well, since that point, his back didn't get healthier, and he didn't necessarily get younger. So I wonder, is that realistic to think that he would take an extension offer? And along the same lines, what would Javi Baez, what kind of neighborhood would he be shopping in?
Well, first I'll take the easier one, which is Baez. I mean, I think we could start it with the two. We shall see. I've heard speculation that all the free agent shortstops will get 200-something. We shall see. I'm sure Story and Seager are shooting for 300-something, but I would think Baez would be $200 million-plus. I don't think they're there yet, but, you know, if they get there, they could have a deal. You're right about Rizzo. That's a trickier one. You know, he hasn't had a great first half. And they did offer him $70 million, reportedly. You know, maybe they'll try that again. It's hard to see them coming up to the $100 million-plus that he had been seeking at this point, you know, with the back still a bit of an issue.
John, the atmosphere in Arizona this past weekend, it was so Cubs-heavy that it was almost – like you were watching a game at Wrigley. You got the Arizona pitcher throwing to first base to keep a Cub close, and the fans are booing. And so when you have that type of atmosphere, is it destructive to the home team, or is it they're going to say, okay, it's us against them type of attitude, and we need to improve this atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, that's unusual, but it does happen. I know the Blue Jays faced that playing in Buffalo. Of course, that isn't the real home park, but certainly there were more Yankee fans. And that occurs in Florida when you've got the Mets at the Marlins and you've got the Yankees at the Marlins, and to a degree with the Yankees at the Rays. You know, I'm sure that the home players get a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and, you know, it hasn't really affected the Rays. They've dominated the Yankees anyway. You know, I'm not sure how much home field or home fans are really worth in baseball. It's great to have fans, but it seems like there are other sports where the home field makes a bigger difference. You know, Arizona, I'm not shocked. I mean, you've got a lot of transplanted Illinoisans living in the Phoenix area, and the team right now is one of the worst in baseball, no question about that.
John, I'm still over here picking my jaw off the floor after you said Javi Baez may be in for a $200 million plus contract for the Cubs.
I heard you gasp.
Wow. So let's talk about Chris Bryant for a moment. The trade market developing for him, the teams that I have seen mentioned, and I think you have reported, Mets and the Nationals. With the Nationals especially, seems like there might be a good fit because of their interest previously in Chris Bryant. But is the holdup, as you say, too top pitching prospects? And don't the Cubs want top pitching prospects if they're going to trade Chris Bryant?
Yeah, the problem with the Nats is they have two great prospects and then a big gap after that. So it's difficult for them to make trades since they don't want to trade Cade Cavalli or Rutledge. They're two very good pitching prospects. Obviously, we know the Nats are very good with the pitchers. Mike Rizzo's got a history with their Scherzer, Strasburg. I mean, he was wrong on Giolito, but he's been right on just about all his pitchers, and they do not want to trade Cavalli and Rutledge. Now we've got Starlin Castro on administrative leave, even more reason for them to be interested in Bryant. So, you know, maybe you could look at it even a little bit more, but I do think the prospect match has been an issue there with the Nats and the Cubs and Bryant. Bryant has got a lot of teams interested. I know we've basically just mentioned the Mets and the Nats, but you know, obviously a very versatile player who can play any position except shortstop and catcher and maybe second base. So I think it's hard to predict where he might go. The Mets seem like a better, more of a likelihood to me than the Nats. They have a better matchup in terms of the prospects, and they are more clearly in the race. I mean, they're still in first place, no matter how mediocre they've played to this point, no matter how many players they have out. The Nats, to me, do not look like a contender. That said, their MO is to go for it. We know they did that in 2019, and it paid off for them. So, you know, they're in that group of about eight or nine teams that are in the middle, but, you know, I don't think they're the likely seller of that group. To me, the likely seller is probably Cleveland. I could see Atlanta switching to be a seller, but many of those teams that are kind of in the middle, and I don't think too many of them are going to make the playoffs at this point, are still thinking they're buyers.
John, who's it more difficult up until the trade deadline? Who is it more difficult to handle, the player that's out there every day having the conversation, you know, brought up to him through the media, or a young manager like David Ross, who is a former teammate of these guys, but now he's got to help in those types of decisions?
I think it probably the player certainly affects them. You saw that Chris Bryant's father wasn't too happy that Bryant was asked on mic in the middle of the game about the trade possibilities. You know, I think Bryant probably handles that better than his father, but, you know, it is an issue for the player. There's no question about it. It is their life. David Ross is in good stead as the Cubs manager. He's not going anywhere. So, you know, I mean, I know it's people who he was friends with, but it's easier to deal with if it's somebody else, I think.
John, you look at the White Sox, and certainly they're 20 games over and in a very comfortable spot atop the division in the Central Division. But
right, and we guaranteed they'd win that division about a month ago.
So you were right on that. Yeah, I think you guaranteed it over in January. So what are their priorities, though? Have they changed second base, bullpen arm, you know, outfield help? They may not want as or need as much because they have Aloy coming back, Luis Robert coming back. How active do you think Rick Hahn will be as he wakes up this morning, kind of going about his week?
Well, they're going to try to improve just like any other contender, but they're so good, they have fewer questions than other teams. You know, they might look at catcher. We'll see how Grandal progresses from his injury, at least to get a backup. Second base, I think, is still something to look at. Infield depth, you know, I still think they'll look at depth. Bullpen arm, I love the arms in that bullpen already, but, you know, there's some of them are quite young. You know, you've got some questions there. So I think you're right about the bullpen. You know, that rotation looks awfully good. Obviously, they're going to monitor it and see how it goes. But when you've got a number five starter who's pitching as well as anybody in that league, it's a pretty good situation to be in. And particularly now, I mean, the starting pitching market is very, very thin. And particularly if Washington doesn't trade Scherzer, Minnesota doesn't trade Berríos, if Texas doesn't trade Gibson, it's extremely thin. You're going to be able to find infielders. You're going to be able to find bullpen arms. So they're in pretty good shape in terms of the trade market.
John, Dave and I were talking about this before you came on, about the ultimate role of Kopech. What do you envision for him? What do you envision for the amount of pitches by the end of the season he can throw? And is he in the perfect spot for the White Sox?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now they have the luxury of having a great rotation, and he can be a fantastic bullpen arm, I think, for this year anyway. And then he'll transition to the rotation. I mean, he's got such a good arm, you'd like him to be a starter. They have probably the best closer in the game. So, you know, the options would be closer or starter. Excuse me. So I think they'll have to look at starter eventually. But this year, the luxury of having five good to great starters is that Kopech can be in the pen. I mean, there's so many great things to talk about the White Sox. I'm wondering, is Mully on vacation to celebrate, or what? Why is he in there today?
We really don't know. If you see him on television this afternoon behind the Sox dugout, nobody would be surprised.
I'll look for him.
Or maybe as the honorary bat boy. Maybe that will be his role today. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be good.
Thanks, John. Great stuff. Keep up the good work.
All right. Good
talking
to you. See you later.
John Heyman from Odyssey Sports and MLB Network with all of the goods and all of the info. And he has been on top of the story with the Cubs and the Sox. And he talks to a lot of different people. And it's going to be an active couple weeks, next 11 days before the trade deadline.
Right. And they're hoping it's going to be an active story all the way through fall.
Yeah.
You know, on one side of town or the other. But, you know, it's there's so many people that have such a love attraction to the free agents or the ending contract guys of the Cubs that it's, you know, it's going to be a sad day for somebody, unfortunately.
And Tom, he's just not making up that number, $200 million right? plus for Javi Baez being offered. That's coming from somewhere. We have to follow up on what that means and what that says and why it isn't another infielder that may be worthy of that kind of contract. Boy, that really caught me off guard. We need to follow up on that when we come back. Tom Thayer's in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'll take the easier one, which is Baez. I mean, I think we could start it with a two. We shall see. I've heard speculation that all the free agent shortstops will get 200-something. We shall see. I'm sure Story and Seager are shooting for 300-something, but I would think Baez would be $200 million-plus. I don't think they're there yet, but, you know, if they get there, maybe they could have a deal.
Wow. That was very surprising from John Heyman, who we just spoke to. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer in for Mully today. Tom, Javi Baez is an important player to the Chicago Cubs. He's one of the more popular players on the north side and has been for years. I don't need to go into a litany of all the things that he does well and why it would be great if he would stay. I don't know about paying him $200 million plus. I think when you look at where the Cubs are and the decisions they have made and what the shortstop market is going to look like in free agency, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And it wouldn't make a lot of sense to me to pay Javi Baez, or should I say, overpay Javi Baez $200 million plus to stick around.
For how long?
Well,
because, you know, it's David, the reason I asked for how long, because I look at some of these contracts that are 10-year plus, or I don't even consider that. I don't care what sport you're telling me, and I'm not going to pay a guy this, you know, $300 million, $200 million, blah, 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 for a 10-year package. I'm not going to do it because you're not telling me that you're getting the same guy that you're paying for today in 8, 9, or 10 years. Baseball is as abusive to the body as football can be when you look at the repetitions, the repetitiveness of these aggressive swings, of sliding, of the injuries that have shown up on the maps this year. I don't consider. So, I mean, when you talk about $200 million, you got to tell me how long that you're asking for a player. You know,
7 years,
I would
6
rather,
years.
You know, then I'm not paying him $200 million for 6 years. You look at Lance Lynn for 2 years, okay? That's a 2-year contract that he's getting a significant amount of money. If you can tell me of a realistic, respectful amount of money for a 5-year package for Javi, considering his age, I'm willing to listen to that. If you can assure me that you're paying attention to the medical evaluations of guys like Bryant and Rizzo, and you can tell me their body is able to withhold what they're expected to be able to deliver according to the money they want. You know, we're not just looking at, okay, these guys got a lot of money, I'm going to pay him this amount of money because he's a great guy. Look, you can't do it that way. You got to look at the medical background of every one of these guys when you're talking about the length of time you're going to sign him for and what's expected of them.
I think two things. Number one, this suggests to me that signability is going to be a big factor, as it always is. But we talked about earlier, Lance Lynn taking the two-year contract extension. He's 34 years old. Different scenario. But the signability was huge with Lance Lynn. I think that when you're the Cubs, if you're talking about offering Javi Baez $200 million plus, it suggests to some that you're choosing him over Chris Bryant, because that would be the going rate for a guy like Chris Bryant, who can play five different positions, is having, you know, an all-around resurgent type of season. And if I were to ask you, Tom, or ask people around baseball, who's going to have the next 5 years is going to have more success in that time frame, would you say Javi Baez or Chris Bryant?
You know, is Chris Bryant, you know, what position are you signing him to be? Well, I mean, if you're signing an every position player, are they money specific to one position? Because you're signing Javi Baez to play one position. You're not asking him to play a bunch of positions all around.
It's an important position, though. Maybe the most important position besides catcher.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, again, to me, it's hard to just, I love Chris Bryant.
I'm not suggesting there's an answer. I mean, it's almost unknowable. It's debatable. It's a lot of things.
But again, I brought it up before. Listen, David Ross was in that locker room as an active player, talking to these players as active players. They're going to tell them about their complaints and their body moans and groans. And so he knows he's got to use his background when you're talking about what amount of money you're going to sign these players for. And, you know, he's got to remove himself from player teammate to manager.
The second aspect is that when you have a free agent class as deep as the one at shortstop will be, when you have Trevor Story, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Carlos Correa, and Javi Baez, these are players potentially facing free agency at the end of this season. It's a matter of supply and demand. You wonder if Javi Baez is going to get what he wants, because there'll be other shortstops who are going out and filling needs of teams that are able to afford those caliber of shortstops. So in that vein, if you're the Cubs, aren't you to some degree threatening to overpay if you're going that high for a salary, $200 million plus? Do you have to go that high? And would you be, you know, spending money you don't need to spend or investing money you don't need to invest by making that deal now rather than playing and seeing what happens in free agency?
I think if you're bringing a guy aboard from another team, you're going to overpay, or you're going to pay more for him, because you're going to get in a bidding war with other teams around the league, and you're going to have to make it an attractable deal in order to get him here. If you are dealing with Javi Baez and he knows what he's accomplished here with the Cubs, what his future could be here with the Cubs, I'm not asking Javi to give the Cubs a deal. But you're talking about if you can pay $100 million less for Javi than you can of one of these guys that you're trying to attract.
I always thought that's what made Javi the most likely of the three to stay, because they would find a compromised position. And we know from past reports that I trust and believe, based on sources that I have talked to, that they have made a similar offer to Chris Bryant in the past that he turned down, that the offer from the Cubs was north of $200 million. Several years ago, and the Scott Boras at that point in time said, no, we're going to take this to free agency. Yep. And one of the most certain things about this Cubs season is that Chris Bryant is going to take this to free agency, whether he's traded or not. He's going to become a free agent. And at that point in time, then they're going to have, you know, a decision to make.
If Chris Bryant is going to take it to free agency and has no intentions of re-signing with the Cubs, look for information about his health to leak out, because they're going to start getting vindictive against him. They're not just going to give him a clean slate and say, oh, Boras, go and run with this. It's going to be some of that underground information.
That's information in a prediction from a former professional athlete, as somebody who might have been through something like that. No?
I've seen it. I see it with free agency when they start to, you know, amplify what concerns they have.
Interesting stuff from Tom Thayer. We are going to talk White Sox next. We have Steve Stone, That'll be a treat. Stay with us here. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.